The following audio is from Faith Bible Church in Spokane, Washington. Visit fbchurch.org/sermons for more.
There, kind of in the progression that we went through the series in, pre-relationship, in the relationship, and then moving forward type of questions, and then there's some like theological / heart questions mixed in there as well, and then a brief recap at the very bottom of all the things we covered. Here's how it's going to work. I'm going to have in a minute here our panel come up. These are some of the staff, volunteer staff that love you guys a lot here in college, in Doxa's college ministry, and they've all been on staff for a long time. So they've actually seen these dating series a handful of times probably, and they are well equipped to answer your questions, and they've answered them for many others before. But here's what we'll do. I'll have them come up in a minute, and I've kind of selected which questions I think we should like definitely get to. That being said, if we're getting through and it doesn't seem like we're going to hit a question that you want to have answered on that list, feel free to just raise your hand and say, hey, can we answer number 15 or whatever? Can we talk about that? And we'll do that. I want to help you guys with what you're most concerned about, interested in, and where you feel like you want answers. So that's how that'll work. And without further ado, let's have our panel come up. We have Elizabeth Anderson. We have Roy Anderson. We have Mandy Ann. We have Henry Ann. And we have Lydia Kinney. And my fun job is to just hand them this microphone. And we do want to record this. We do want to record this. Sweet. And I'll have my nice little corded microphone over here. And I've got my cup of coffee because I'm on break today. And you guys are going to do all the talking. No, I'll chime in here and there. Yeah, I'll correct you. Yeah, let's fix that. Let's rewind. But let's pray for our morning. This will be fun. And then we'll get to know our judges, panel. In just a minute here, a little bit. All right, let's pray. God, thanks for this morning. Thank you for some time together in main service. The sweet reminder of the call upon our lives. Thank you for giving us your word through the apostles. Thank you for calling us to a purpose for those who are in Christ. Thank you that we are part of a heavenly body, so to speak. We are part of this local church. We are also part of the church globally and in heaven, Lord. And so we praise you for the gift that that is. Those who are in Christ here have an eternal hope that is secure in Christ, and we're thankful for that. God, that is appropriate to reflect on, and it is applicable to every area of life, including the topic we've been going through with this dating series. And so, Lord, I pray that even as we seek to answer questions this morning, that we would keep Christ as the center, that the gospel would be our motivation, that declaring Christ with our lives would be our purpose, and Lord, that each of us would receive whatever scripture or instruction or wisdom is shared this morning, that we would receive it with humility and serious thought. Just direct this time, we pray, Lord, and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to give this to whoever grabs it. I have my own mic. All right. First of all, a lot of these people don't really know all of you very much. So I want to give them the chance to get to know you some. We won't spend a lot of time on this, but let's start with the Andersons. Andersons, how long have you been helping with college ministry?
2010, roughly?
12 years. 13 years. It is now 2023.
Lucky 13.
13 years. Awesome. So you were here during the time of Gilcher. You probably saw two dating series while he was...
Naresh. One series with Naresh. Oh. No, he did one. Yes. Yeah.
So you've probably gone through three dating series total between Naresh and Jared. Great. Okay, so some personal questions here, Andersons. How did you meet? And... who asked who?
We met in high school, and I think she asked me to a Sadie Hawkins thing, or no? How did we do?
They've been married longer than those
13
years.
Oh, no, our first date. Yeah, I asked her out because we went to a pizza place. We dated in high school, which
okay.
if I were her father, I would have said, you are not ready for my daughter. But anyway, and I was, you know, I bought the monster Coke for her, you know, being the big spender.
What a guy. Right? And what, are you talking like a 64-ouncer? Did you drink it?
Spilled it.
Oh, she spilled it.
All over Roy? All over everything.
It was like half a gallon in one of those great big huge cups.
Yeah. So you looked at her and you thought, she seems like a half gallon of Coke type of lady. Yeah.
I was clueless, basically. Yeah, I was clueless.
That's awesome. That's why he's up here, folks. That's awesome. Okay, here's a question. Whether it's your guys' dating experience together or before that, two sides of the question. What was something hard about your dating experience that you could share in a minute? And then what was a positively surprising experience in your dating experience?
Well, I'll say what was hard is a lot of it was long distance. And that was before cell phones, and it was a long time. You know, carrier pigeons and smoke signals and things like that we sent to each other. So that was hard.
Okay. How long of distance? Where were you guys?
Here in L.A.
Here in L.A., all right.
Right. I went to school in Southern California, and she went to school at Biola for a semester, so we were closer. But other than that, we were long distance, so that was hard. Another hard thing was we dated way too long.
Ah.
Because we met in high school, and I don't know why. We should have just probably gotten married sooner, but we didn't. So that made it hard, too.
How much of that was long distance? How many years?
2 years.
2 years long distance and like another two not long distance? Or?
Yeah, 2.5. And then, yeah, something like that. Too much. It was too much. Yeah.
That does sound tough.
And surprising things.
Pleasantly surprising. About your dating experience, something you expected that went differently than you expected, and it was positive. He never bought you another 64-ounce Coke.
I think the positive thing was, you know, just how positive and negative, because we waited too long, but positive in the sense that suddenly you're like in love. Wow, didn't expect that. Which, you know, I should have, but how about you?
Yeah, we knew. We never broke up. We knew. We wanted to spend the rest of our lives together. It wasn't a question.
Cool. That's awesome. All right, thanks, Andersons. Good to have you up here. Yans, welcome to the party. Same questions. When'd you meet? Who asked who? How did that go?
Well, we originally met when I was in high school. Henry is almost 9 years older than me. So he was a leader. I was like, gross. Not even in the realm of possible.
Gross.
If you would have told me when I met him that we'd get married, I would have laughed very hard.
So then you were like 18, 19 or something, and you were like 27 or something?
Yes.
You were like 16, 17.
I was almost my senior year.
Okay, but still.
Yes. I was also very immature, so Henry had a repulsive reaction to me as well.
I'll just say the youth staff was ready for her to leave for college.
And look at us now.
And you were ready to receive her.
Yeah.
Wow.
God is merciful.
So then he asked you, or you asked him?
Yep. We were on Spokane team building the Great Wall of China for Sunday school. And he asked me out.
Oh, I thought that was a joke about Henry.
Oh, I should have prayed about that.
I thought that was a joke about you, but you were actually building some sort of Great Wall of China.
Yes.
We were just learning about missionaries.
Keep jokes about his nationality all the time. Hey, if you knew them well enough, you would know that was a totally okay comment to make.
Oh, I'm perfectly fine with Asian jokes. No, we were learning about missionaries in China. So,
okay.
So we were decorating a hall with the Great Wall of China.
Very cool. And they put you on the job.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
They assumed you had experience. Wow. Okay. Something that was hard about either your dating experience or previous dating experiences that you feel like is worth sharing. And then something pleasantly surprising about your dating experience.
I think physical boundaries were hard for us. It's just, you like them.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also hard to not be so focused on the boundary. Like I treated it of like a magical potion. If we follow these emotional and physical boundaries, that will ensure that we have this, you know, wonderful, perfect marriage. And turns out I'm a sinner and he's a sinner, and you know, there's no perfect formula.
Sure.
So it was like I overly focused on keeping boundaries instead of getting to know Henry's ins and outs and his personality.
Yeah. Gotcha.
The other thing was our parents.
Yes.
My unbelieving family and her parents getting separation, divorce, eventually into divorce. So that was challenging with dealing with their separation and having the emotional things with her mom. And yep.
Probably very different backgrounds as well.
No, yeah. Similar.
Okay, how about something pleasantly surprising about your dating experience?
I didn't expect that it would be so encouraging to get to call Henry, and you know, he put up with all my crazy late night phone calls when I'm crying because I'm overwhelmed, and you know, my parents were separating, so it was a very ugly time in my life, and you know, there's nothing he could do about it, but he would just point me to Christ and okay. I'm sure it was terrible for him to get a phone call from me crying in the middle of the night.
1 a.m.
Yeah.
Neat. Anything to add to that, Henry?
Was there anything good?
Was there? No, probably just all the things that Mandy did. You know, she was juggling a lot, and so I was just courageous to see that she was, you know, like you look at Proverbs 31, the type of woman that is. You know, she was working, she's going to school full time, doing ministry stuff. So, yep.
Sweet. And love it. Miss Lydia, on to you.
Okay.
When was your first date? Official. Like your first official date. Are we talking like sixth grade? Are we talking like.
I was homeschooled, so.
Oh.
Talking to boys was not allowed.
Okay.
Yes.
So what was your first official date?
Well, I made the choice not to date in high school.
Okay.
So after high school, in college, I went on some very ambiguous things that could have been dates. And I don't know, or for sure.
They were with a boy.
We were friends. Maybe one or the other of us liked each other. It was never really defined. So I don't know if those really count. I think my first official date wasn't until I was 27.
Okay.
So.
And now you, if
now I'm 35.
Okay.
35.
27.
I am not. Contrary,
I was like, so this
to
year.
I am older.
And then when was your most recent date?
My most recent date was last April.
Last April. Mm-hmm. Okay. Tough things about dating experience and surprisingly positively things about your dating experience.
Okay, so tough things about my dating experiences. I think probably the hardest thing is that I've never actually been on a date I was excited to go on.
Oh.
Meaning that like I liked him and I knew he liked me back, and it was for the purpose of exploring a relationship.
Ah.
So most of the, pretty much all of the dates I've been on were with people I didn't know them super well, or I was just like kind of trying to explore the possibility. And the guys that I have liked a lot in the past, we grew a beautiful friendship together, and then they didn't feel the same for me. And so, after I obviously developed feelings for them, they didn't feel the same. And so that was really hard mm-hmm. to recognize that I finally found someone that I thought like, oh, this would be so great if we were in a relationship. And then it didn't end up working out. So those were probably the hardest things.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. How about surprisingly pleasant experiences?
Yeah. So I will say, even though like I wasn't like so excited to go on the dates, all the dates that I've been on with the guys were absolute gentlemen. They were just really, really kind, thoughtful people. And I think when I was younger, because I made the decision not to date in high school, I had like this weird like fear of dates, or just like dating is like, oh, it's like going to get married, you know, kind of thing. And I had to get over that. And I think once I started going on dates without this huge expectation of like, this is so meaningful, I was like, it's just a great opportunity to get to know someone. And it could go somewhere or it might not. And I kind of relaxed like the pressure on that. And then every date that I went on with different guys in my past has been really sweet, has helped me to see more of what I want in a future husband.
Very cool. Awesome. All right. So wide range of experiences here, wide range of stories. And I feel like sitting up there is going to be strange. This might be more strange, but I'm going to get comfy down here. And we're just going to start rattling these off. And Lydia, how about since you have the microphone, let's start with one that you can answer. All right. Let's start with pre-relationship stage type questions. What is an appropriate way for a girl to pursue a guy with whom she has interest?
Well.
And not only Lydia has to answer this. You guys can pass around the mic whenever, but we'll start with Lydia.
Really? Because I'm not dating anyone and I'm not married, so it hasn't worked.
That is a scary question. And it's completely black and white, so you better get it right.
Yeah, I better get it right, because otherwise it's not going to go well. Yeah. I think that appropriate ways to show interest. I think, honestly, Jared, I think that you did a good job of addressing this in your sermons. As I was listening to some of the things that you said, I was like, yeah, that seems appropriate. Talking to guys, making small talk, just showing that you're interested in building a friendship with them is really important. Don't be closed off. Don't make it weird. Just build up a good friendship with them. And then, like, you know, you can do things that show a little bit more interest without being like, hey, let's go out. I mean, you could ask someone out if you wanted to. I have never, and I never will, because it's too scary. So sorry, guys, that's left to you. however, I have told guys how I felt about them. And the reason that I did that in multiple situations was because I felt like our friendship had become too close. And at some point, your friendship either is going to develop into dating, or it shouldn't be that close anymore, because one or the other of you is going to have these feelings, and then they're going to get hurt. And so I felt like, well, he's not making a move and I don't know if he's going to. So I just need to, you know, see where we're at with this. And so we had those conversations, and they were hard conversations, because ended up not going the way that I wanted it to, but they were also very sweet and very kind, because we were such good friends. They were very kind to me, and one of them I'm still friends with and the other one I'm not. And that's just the way that it goes. But I think, saying, you know, you can give encouragements, like you can say, hey, you know, give them a compliment that's like, hey, I really appreciate, you know, like that comment that you made in Bible study last week about like whatever, you know, and then that can build into a conversation, or thanking them for things that they're doing, or just little things like that to show that like, hey, I'm noticing you. I'm paying attention to what you're doing, and I think that's great. And guys, don't be stupid. If a girl's saying things like that, like, oh, maybe she might be interested in me. She might not be, but I'm just saying, like, maybe she's dropping hints and maybe you should pick them up. That's all I'm saying.
Would you guys add anything to...
Don't be stupid.
That? Yeah, would you add anything to don't be stupid? Well, that was directed at the guys. That was complete. Oh, Henry wants to talk.
Henry wants to
talk. Let's go shake your hand. I guess I would just say for the guys, end of it, based on what Lee just said. And
so is this the guy receiving the girl's interest, or is this the guy expressing interest? Both.
I'll just say what I'm going to say.
Okay.
I've seen this a lot in guys I've met with, and they got, if you get into a dating relationship, you got to let them know. Or even if you're in a friendship, right? Girls like to know where you're at in the relationship. Don't be ambiguous.
Roy, you had the mic for a second. Did you want to say something? All right.
I don't need the mic. Can you guys hear me?
Well, it's for the sake of the recording.
Oh.
Yeah. I wish I could have had five mics for you, but I don't think we have that.
I would just say, you know, try to get over the, you know, Lydia saying, oh, it's too scary. You know, get over yourself and your pride. I mean, you really should if you're concerned about the other person as much as yourself, just be straightforward and, you know, be a little bit bold.
Yeah, because like I said, I have told guys how I felt before, and I've had people tell me like, wow, that's really bold. You're really brave. And I'm like, you know what? There comes a point when it's just better to be honest with someone than to leave it in this like, I don't know. So I appreciate what you said, Roy, because it's true. I think that it's just better to be honest. And if you're not interested in the other person, then you're honest back. And then that is kinder than just kind of leading people on and just being kind of mushy in the middle.
Great.
I also think it's good to start hanging out in groups. And sometimes, you know, you find yourself hanging out in the same group, like a girl is inviting you and your friends to the same events. She's probably interested in one of you or your friends. So, but it's a great way to kind of test those waters too, of like, let's get a group together and I don't know. Go mini golfing or whatever, or go for a hike, or so you get to start those conversations of just getting to know each other. So it's not just an out of the blue, like, I don't even know your name, but you're telling me you like me. There should be at least some, you should know each other's names first.
Context. Yes. Nice.
Then just show each other grace and in that, because it is awkward, it is hard. So show each other grace.
Yeah, it's not gonna be perfect the first time. Both people are nervous, or one person's being caught off guard, or whatever. So that's a really good note to end on with that question. Show each other grace. Here, how about this? So suppose someone is expressing interest in someone. They've had some conversations. Maybe they've hung out in a group, something like that. Really practical question here. And this could come from anyone. This could come from a social person, a not social person. I think no matter what, anybody could be asking this question. How do you make more small talk when you're interested in someone? Like, we've gotten past, what's your name? Where are you from? How many siblings do you have? What's your favorite color? What car do you drive? How expensive was it? Is it on a loan? Okay. No. Oh, sorry. That went the wrong way. Never mind. That was an example of how not to have small talk. What's your interest rate?
No.
Small talk.
Ask them questions about themselves and not necessarily about their nice car. Sorry, Travis. Where's Travis? No. Ask them questions about themselves, meaningful questions. Their background, their parents. Are their parents divorced? Are they married? You know, questions that are thoughtful. And everybody's favorite topic is themselves. So, I would say ask them questions about themselves. Don't feel the need to talk about yourself.
Also, open-ended questions. They shouldn't be able to answer with a yes or a no. And also not the questions that we hear from each other all the time. We kind of have these knee-jerk reactions. How was your day? Good. It's an open-ended question, but we don't answer with more or ask a follow-up question, or even instead of, what'd you think of the sermon today? Good. You know, I really appreciated this point in the sermon. What are your thoughts on that? Or was there anything in the sermon that you disagreed with or really struck a chord with you? Small talk doesn't have to be the weather and, you know, your major. It can be deeper issues, and even those things of asking about the sermon or Bible study or about their week, those can lead into conversations about theology and your views on life that are really important to kind of figure out when you're dating.
Yeah, I'll add something. This is a good practice for whether it's someone you're interested in or not. If you kind of have the mentality of whatever this person is excited about, I want to ask questions and I want to get information that gets me also excited about that. Whatever this person likes, whatever they're passionate about, whatever they care about, I want to ask questions that get me as close as possible to the same level they're on with that passion. So if someone loves art, if someone loves traveling, like ask questions about their travel, ask questions about their art. If someone asks, or if someone is passionate about reading or sports or skiing or whatever, like ask questions that educate you so that you can become as equally excited about that thing as they are. And now you're relating and now you're understanding each other better. And now you're like, the conversation is going forward because you're both becoming more excited about what you're talking about. That takes practice to kind of learn what those questions sound like. But if that's your mentality, like I want to be excited about what this person is excited about. And I want to be interested in what they're interested in simply for the sake of knowing them and caring about them. And if there's an extra level of interest, then there's that. But if that's your mentality, as opposed to what are they going to think about what I say next and then shrivel up and I don't know what to say because now the conversation's about me. No, keep it about them. That's what whoever said that was saying that. Elizabeth, keep it about them. Show interest in what they're interested in. Does that make sense? Yeah. Would you guys add anything to that? And that's still small talk. Like it's not talking about like, what's the hardest thing you've ever experienced in your life?
And I think that's a good skill, period. That's a good people skill to learn how to be truly interested in someone else. That goes beyond the dating realm.
Yeah, and if you think about it, it's biblical in a sense because we want to learn to rejoice with others. We want to learn how to enjoy the gift of life that God has given us together. And the more I can understand what somebody's passionate about, and not just that they're passionate about it, but why they're passionate about it, even if I don't go ahead and start doing what they like to do, at least now I have more information about it. I'm like, oh yeah, that actually is a lot more interesting than I ever would have imagined because you ask good questions.
You
can rejoice together.
The speaker from Fall Retreat, we drove him to the airport and we were talking to him about when he met his wife, what did that look like? And he was saying that every date they went on, he had two or three questions prepared. A lot of them were deep theological questions because he wasn't sure where she was theology-wise. But even those can be small talk. And I just like that idea of like you had thought ahead about what you're going to talk about. And I've talked to other people who they even wrote it down on a note card. Like, these are the topics I want to try and cover during this activity we're doing. I'm like, that shows a lot of planning and forethinking and that it's not just this casual thing of like, oh, I have an intention with this time together.
Yeah, and I would just add with that, like, don't worry about transitions. Don't worry about awkward changes in the conversation. Like, if you want to talk about something else now, bring it up. Like, there doesn't have to be a natural segue all the time. And I think that kind of can be a roadblock in our conversation sometimes. Like, oh, this feels awkward to start talking about this now. Probably not. Like, just go into that topic now. Yeah.
So I kind of have this list that I developed a long time ago. My wife told me, don't read from this list. It'll sound like the rules. But when my daughters were dating young men, and I would say, the things that make somebody a good potential candidate for you to marry, you want to ask them questions that lead to those things. Mm-hmm. Like, do you have anybody else in your life, who speaks, God's truth into it? Things like that. Do you have friends who you aren't going to forsake? Good, strong friend relationships with people because, if you can't develop friends, if you're just kind of this loner, well, that's kind of a sign that maybe you might not be the best person for that, to date. Or I would just ask questions about that. What do you do in your life? What are your activities? Are any of those activities around sacrificing for other people? So there's a lot of things like that. If you think through the questions, they can be small talk, but yet they're revealing.
Cool. So suppose that conversation keeps going. It's progressing. Maybe a guy and a gal hang out a couple times. Here's a question someone brought up. Of course, this probably isn't like a first date type of question. Maybe second or third. But here's the question. Number five, if you are interested in someone, how do you bring up controversial, but important topics? So some examples that the person gave are pro-life versus pro-choice, LGBTQ stuff. Similar question below that, how to navigate conversations regarding morals, beliefs, and different perspectives to important topics, baptism, sexual purity, salvation, etc. How would you guys answer that?
Just ask them. I'm a pretty blunt, realistic person, so I think maybe even it was very early on in our dating relationship. Henry and I had a lot of those conversations of just, what do you think about purity? What are physical boundaries you've had in other relationships? Stuff that maybe wouldn't have come up on most first or second dates, but it's like, we got to figure this out, because if you have had no physical boundaries with someone else, this relationship's over. You know, these things that are important to me that, you know, or, oh, you're not pro-life. Oh, okay. Maybe you're not who I thought you were. You know, embrace the awkward and just ask the question.
And maybe, Mandy, just talk about, why are these important questions to talk about? Not that you always have to bring them up first and foremost, but they'll probably come up at some point because we talk about life and culture and all that. But like, why are these important things to know about someone?
If I'm going to be united with Henry and we can't even agree on whether we're pro-life or pro-choice or, you know, our stance on LGBTQ, that's going to be a lot of friction in our relationship, especially if you're thinking of getting married. Like, how do you raise kids when you have completely and utterly different views on that, and they come back to your views on theology? And so if you can't even be united in the Word of God, then it's going to be real rough.
Andrew, did you want to add something? We made eye contact.
Oh. Well, I'll just say, I guess maybe if you go to, this church, I would say that you're being discipled, which you should be just being discipled by somebody older, wiser than you. I think some of these will be, and they're saying, yeah, you're ready to date. I think that kind of clears the flag. Okay, yeah, you're not having to deal with some of these issues without that other person. So in the disciple relationship, you're getting mentored, the other person's getting mentored, and they, you know, and you guys are all on the same page, right? I don't think we would have to, these issues would already been resolved in the discipleship, and you don't really need to worry about it. But always good to ask.
Yeah, and I would say if the other person is like, oh, that's not really a big deal, or, you know, I don't really know what I think about that, that might also be a red flag, because if they're not willing to take a stance on certain things or try to avoid it, that will lead to problems later on, because these are important issues that, again, reflect our worldview and our theology. And if they're not willing to think about it, then that might not be the best relationship to have. But if they're like, I don't know, I've never thought about that before, but I'd like to know more and I'd like to explore it more, that could lead to further exploration of that topic together. And you can read books and listen to things and send each other different, you know, articles about stuff. And that will also give you something really good to talk about as you kind of walk through what you believe about that.
Cool. Okay, so that kind of falls in line with the next question I want to ask, because we're talking about things that are important, things that are kind of yes and no's in our mind, red flags, green lights, that kind of thing. Question number one, and under that general topic on there, how do you know if you are too picky? So those are important things to ask, but there could be things that are not as essential. How does someone know if they're being too picky with their interests?
Well, I've been accused of being too picky, so I will start. I think one of the biggest things is to be in a mentoring discipleship relationship so that you can have people help you see if the things that you're like, oh yeah, this is like so important, and they might be able to help you see, well, actually that's more of a secondary issue, and not necessarily like the most important thing. I would say if you have never met someone who lives up to your standards, you're too picky. I have had people, you know, suggest to me that maybe I'm being too picky because I maybe have a selected interest in people. But I know for a fact that I have met the kind of man that I want to marry. He wasn't for me, but I know that he exists because I've met him, and he's not unattainable. And that reminds me that it's okay to have high standards, and it's okay to want to, you know, to like the person that you're going to marry. And I think that that's the thing, is like, sometimes people are like, oh, you're just being too picky, give this guy a chance. I'm like, but I don't even like him, you know? And so don't feel pressure from people to be like, well, you're just being too picky because you can't find anyone. That's okay for right now. Maybe God wants you to focus on other things, and he hasn't brought that person into your life yet. But being accountable to people is really important so that they can help you delineate the difference between those two things of, whether you're just not giving, you know, someone a chance who could be really great for you and you like them, but maybe there's one thing that you're like, well, they're like this, so I don't like that. And you're like, well, maybe you should just look that over because it's a smaller issue that's not like salvation or theological.
I would also say too picky about what? Now, you know, you have standards, and you have, you know, they have to, you want them to be a believer, those kind of things. But there's also picky about, well, he's not at a certain point in his career, and I'm, you know, I want to make sure that I can live a certain lifestyle.
Six figures, baby.
What?
Six figures, baby.
Six,
like 6 zeros after decimal.
Not $6,000. But I mean, that's a chance to kind of reveal your own heart. Sometimes people should, like we've talked about, we should have gotten married sooner because, you know, it's okay to be poor and in college if that is the situation you're in, that you find yourself in or whatever. That's not necessarily, I want me to say this carefully, it's not necessarily a reason to be picky. So, I mean, be careful what you're picky about.
Yeah, not being picky doesn't mean be careless, obviously, but doesn't mean that there's always an ideal that everyone has to meet, right? Yeah.
Right, and just because a guy will go out into the woods and not bathe for 3 days straight and come back with mosquito welts all over his body and smell like bacon and smoke, I mean...
That is great if he wants to do that, Roy. I'll be at home with my cup of tea.
No, I just... I don't even know if I like that, but anyway. I had something important I was going to say, and I completely forgot about it.
How do you know if you're too picky? That's the question, Ron.
Yeah.
There we go.
I think it depends on the stage of, you know, where you're at, you know, because these questions are coming from all over the place. Yeah. Some are coming from, how do I get to know them? And how do I, you know, when it gets more serious, there's questions around that. But I think if it's at the very beginning stages and you don't really know the person very well, stop being picky. Don't be picky at all. I have very few people I've met.
It's okay. Don't go out with a guy who's going to stalk you.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's
valid.
True. Or doesn't have teeth. Let me also have that.
Joking aside, there's very few people in the church that I've met over the years. Some I'm like, they're really hard to be with. But I still have this affinity towards them because of some of the strengths of their character. Even though there may be things about it that doesn't mesh very well with me, I don't think you have to be picky about very much, especially if you're just trying to get to know people, right? So don't rule somebody out right off the bat if you don't really know them, I guess it would be my point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I said that a couple times in the series, like, again, this isn't a rule, but giving someone more than one chance, I think, is fair, and it's wise, either because of nerves on the first day or nerves on the first interaction, for that matter. Give people multiple conversations, even if it's not to the dating stage yet. Like, give them multiple conversations. Keep interacting with them. Don't shut them out. I don't know where I was going with that. But
I have one thing to add.
Yeah, go ahead.
Also remember that you're going to change a lot in your lifetime. Like, I'm a very different person than I was when Henry and I started dating, and we've walked through a lot of really hard things together, and we've both grown and changed. So I think if it's like personality stuff, like, you're going to change. I've matured a lot and I still have a ways to go. And Henry's graciously put up with me.
No, that's a really good point, because I think because we don't have the eternal perspective that God has, and we see a person in a moment in time, we think that's them and that's just them, period. That's who they are. And because I don't see the future, in our limited understanding, we think that's how they're always going to be. I'm a totally different person than when Claire and I first started dating, for sure. And certainly since we got married. Yeah, no kidding. Thank goodness. Okay. I'm going to pause for a second, because I can take this conversation somewhere, but I want to know, do you guys want to chime in? Do you have any questions you want to make sure we hit on before we keep going? Feel free to just point out a number or raise a hand. Okay. It's hilarious. That is a really good question. All right. So let's do it. The question is, what if, and I think there's good follow-up questions to this, so sure, we can go this way. What if after this long dating series, I'm not asked out by someone? What if I'm still alone after all we've been, after all this instruction we've been given?
You know, you think that's hilarious. I look at that and I go,
that's someone asking who's like been hurting, because this has probably happened before. All right, who wants to?
I misinterpreted the question, but I looked at it like, gosh. I don't want to answer.
I will, Roy. the truth of the matter is that a lot of times that is the reality, that you're not going to get asked out. You might think, well, this was a magical series and I'm going to have a boyfriend next week. Great. And it doesn't work like that. Because sometimes there you look around and you're like, there's just nobody that I'm like that interested in right now. Or maybe I am interested in someone and they ask somebody else out and they get married to them. And that is a hard truth of life, that it doesn't go the way that you planned. And I think that what I have learned through my life of living through singleness and a lot of expectations in my early 20s, I expected I'd be married by 22. And then I expected I'd be married by 26. And it just kept not happening. And I know for a fact that that is God's plan for my life. And I know for a fact that my singleness is not a waste. And I feel very passionate about helping people not look at marriage as the end goal of their life, but to be like Christ as the end goal of their life. Because if you are looking to marriage to satisfy all of your wants and your desires, it's not going to happen that way. Marriage will satisfy a specific longing for a spouse that God has created. And I know that that is a beautiful gift. But if you're not satisfied in Christ apart from marriage, and now that can't be perfectly, because I hate when people would tell me, like, well, first you have to be satisfied in Christ and then you'll get a spouse. And I'm like, it's not a cause and effect relationship. But you need to know who you are in Christ. You need to know your purpose in life apart from a spouse. And sometimes God keeps you single to teach you that. And I know that I have learned that through a lot of heartbreak, and God's tender mercy in that heartbreak to show me that He is enough for me, even when I don't think that He is. And He's given me so much more purpose in my life than I ever dreamed when I was a child. So you might look at that and think that would be the worst possible thing. I look at that and say, actually, the worst possible thing would be to rush into a marriage just so that you can find a husband and then you're stuck in an unhappy marriage, or other possible scenarios that could go poorly. So I just encourage you that that it's okay if you're still single after the dating series.
I also think this question goes beyond the, I'm going to call it suffering, that you feel when you have a strong desire to get married and nobody's asking you out, that, you know, it's not happening like the way you thought it would. That is a question, that is a larger question that we face in all of our life, is what does God say in his word about the purpose? I'm going to call it suffering. What is the purpose of suffering? You know, it, and not because you've done something wrong, but maybe you have a physical suffering or whatever. I would say, what does God say he will do in our lives through suffering and grow us more like him so we can be mature and complete and we can rejoice that God is working through that pain and that suffering, and to be very aware of that.
Bravo. Okay, so closely related to that.
One second.
Okay.
I didn't want to make you feel bad. I didn't mean to. Sorry.
Close related to that. How do I even know if I'm ready to start dating?
You know, to be honest, when you're looking at dating somebody, right, if you think about the enormity of it from Scripture, the fact that, you know, it's a relationship between Christ and the church, you never are, right? If marriage represents that, you'll never be fully ready to be married. But there are signs that you're, you know, you're at least looking at the brochures. Maybe you didn't arrive yet. And I think those really have to do with, you know, your overall spiritual health. You know, do you view people more important than yourself often? No one's perfect at that, but, you know, is that a critical thing in your life? Do you have good, strong relationships now with people that are more than just surfacey? Can you deny yourself? You know, a lot of people go into marriage thinking that marriage is, it's, you know, maybe they struggle with the physical side of their sin life or whatever, and it's going to get easier if I get married. No, it gets harder, actually. And you wouldn't think that, but it does. So are you, you know, are you just a good overall, in a good overall place spiritually across the board? Then you're probably ready to start thinking about dating, which ultimately is the purpose of marriage. So,
I'll just say discipleship again. How do you know you're ready? Like just Roy said, you know, spiritual maturity. Well, it helps if you're being discipled. It helps that somebody else is walking alongside you who know you intimately, know where you struggle with, know where your strengths are. And they're speaking into your life and encouraging you. And they can tell you, yeah, you're either ready or you're not. So find a guy, or for you gals, find a gal who's older than you, spiritually more mature than you, not necessarily age-wise older, and spend time with them, be open with them, with who you are, what your struggles are, and yeah, spend time with them and get to know each other. And they'll let you know if you're ready or not.
I think it's important really to understand like the purpose of dating. Jared's talked about this in his sermons too, just knowing, having a more mature approach to dating and not making it all about yourself and your, you know, selfish desires. So understanding the purpose of dating, understanding just some character things that you're gonna need to go into a relationship, and talking about that in a discipleship relationship is really important. And if you're in the place where you're like, I don't really know if like I'm mature enough for that yet, taking some time to just kind of intentionally grow in those things and learn about them first. Even if there's someone that you really like and you're like, I'd love to date them, and maybe they've expressed interest in you, it it might even be good to just hold off for a bit until you feel like I've grown a little bit in my character in this area before jumping into that relationship.
Yeah, we shouldn't be our own judges for sure. Like we shouldn't be the one that. Well, Dan said in first service, Christians don't fly solo. We don't do Christian life solo. So if you're the only one who's telling you, I'm ready for this, backpedal, rewind, get discipled, have the patience to at least let someone get to know you for like 6 months or something, to really see who you are, how you're growing, ways you're struggling, what your priorities are. I just go straight back to the very first message that we covered in the series, which is, are the first two priorities in your life that you're seeking to grow in, your love for the Lord and your love for others, your ability to actively love the Lord through obedience to his word and worship of him, through that, and your tangible active ability to love others, sacrificially and lovingly. Those are the two greatest commandments that God gives us. So are those the priorities of your life? And are there tangible evidences of how you're pursuing growth in those two areas? Love for God, love for neighbor. You might be able to pinpoint some of those things, but someone else who observes your life for a while is going to be able to pinpoint them even better, because they're not biased in any way, and they'll have a outsider's perspective, and they'll be able to tell you things that you're good at or things that you're growing in that you might not even realize, and they'll be able to show you things that, like, actually this is an area you haven't even mentioned that you really need to be growing in before you start thinking about adding things to your life when the foundation still needs to be built with loving God and loving neighbor. So back to Henry about discipleship being super key to all of this, but yeah, go ahead, Roy.
Well, I just wanted to make a plug for a couple Piper sermons that, you know, and Jared covered some of this as well, and covered probably everything we've said you've covered, actually, I think, which is good. There's two sermons by John Piper. Some of you know who he is and maybe like him. Some of you may not. On marriage, and I think the series is called Staying Married is Not About Staying in Love. The first two sermons are really good, and he really defines well what marriage is about. And if you were to watch those two and go, yeah, I'm ready for that, then that's probably an indication that you're ready to date. There's also a book based on those sermons called This Momentary Marriage, which is good as well. But his first two sermons are really easy to watch. Take a couple hours of your life, and I'd recommend you do that just to get a feel for it.
And not that I've embraced that and I'm ready for that now because I've arrived, but I want that because it is a sanctification process.
Great. Okay, so let's jump into the category of questions for in the relationship stage, because there are some dating here in this group, and that's exciting. So one that came up a couple times, and maybe I'll lump a couple of these together. How about 15 and 16, or 15 and 17? So 15 says, talk about how to deal with lusts and physical attraction within dating. How and when to pray with your significant other, and to what extent should you each hold each other accountable in your faith, or should that be left to same-sex Christian friends? How to maintain growth within a relationship? Sounds like that what they're trying to get at is just avoid things becoming stagnant. And then 17, how should a dating couple approach accountability with each other? Should my boyfriend or girlfriend keep me spiritually accountable? What are practical ways to grow together spiritually in a relationship? So let's just whatever of those things you want to address, let's camp on that for a little bit. They're in the relationship. Things are going well. They want to know, how do we grow together? And also it sounds like, how do we just, handle temptation and things like that too?
I think part of it is remembering that you're first your brothers and sisters in Christ and your friends. So, I wouldn't say that you should be holding each other accountable. You should be being discipled, and the disciplers are holding each of you accountable, but also your friends. So you should share your struggles. Maybe instead of giving all the dirty details of your struggle, just, you know, let them know, please pray for me. I'm struggling with being in the Word or whatever it is. You know, there's a lot of kind of general ways that we can say things, because it is a friendship. And as you hopefully do get married, you will be sharing those things with each other. So if you have no practice in that while you're dating, it's kind of awkward to then all of a sudden like, oh, we signed a paper and made a covenant before God. Now I can tell you all these things. Like, we haven't had these conversations and now all of a sudden we're supposed to have them. Like, that's awkward. You're friends. You should be sharing each other's burdens. You're brother and sisters in Christ. That's what being part of the body is about.
I do think until you're engaged, though, the very deepest sharing should be among people of the same pre-engagement. Right. It should be, if you really need to share your heart, it needs to be with another woman. If you're a woman, it needs to be with another man. If you're a man, until you've made the decision that you're probably going to get married, because that can bring you too close, maybe before you're ready to be that close.
Cool. So how about, let's stick with that for a second. Maybe just, in more of a positive sense, what are specific things that a dating couple can do together, should do together, in order to be helping each other grow spiritually?
Read the same book if you're a reader and discuss it. Go to church together. I mean, those are kind of obvious things, but listen to podcasts if you're a podcast listener. These are things I do. Do that together.
When Henry and I were dating, we would read books aloud to each other. So we got to spend time together. We'd get to discuss it right then. And, you know, you kind of want to spend time together. So it was a nice way to do that without it being this intense, like, we're going to sit down and have a 3-hour conversation. And, yeah, being able to talk about what we were reading was nice.
And I would just, add to that 3-hour conversation thing. Conversations really do deepen your emotional connection. And I've had conversations with my friends who've been dating guys and they'd be like, yeah, I talked on the phone with him for like 4 hours last night. And I'm like, no, that's probably not a good idea. Just especially in the early stages of the relationship, it's going to deepen your connection really quickly. And you might not even know if you're going to be dating for a really long time after that. And so just even being aware of like how deep you share and for how long about stuff, you might think, oh, that's no big deal, but it really does deepen your connection with someone. So you do want to be careful about that.
We discipled a couple that when they were close to being engaged, I think it was, they started texting each other every morning of this is what I read and this is what I learned, or doing a FaceTime. Okay. Anyway, somehow they communicated over media, and it was not only an accountability thing, but like, this is what I'm studying, this is what I'm learning. And you know, it takes a couple of minutes. So I liked that idea of like, this is a habit of we're starting this and it's not a super deep thing. Like I would do that with my friends. But it was a nice way to kind of, we're both starting our day with the Word and you know, yeah, I did it. You did it. So we both started our day off well.
Cool. How about, so the first part of question 15, how to deal with lusts and physical attraction within dating. That was one of the more recent messages, but I didn't get into a lot of specifics of like, okay, now here's how you could actually go about being careful in those ways and parameters to put up, things like that. Maybe Roy could start. Yeah, there, he's reaching for the mic. There we go. Roy could start with this. You're a father, you've had daughters and a son. You've been a part of these conversations. You've seen it gone well. You've seen it gone poorly, I'm sure, at times. So what could that look like practically for a couple who's trying to be faithful and careful and protect one another and help each other grow without sinning against each other?
Yeah, I would say that the first thing you need to do is remember that you are a sinner and that you, if given the right opportunities and put yourself in the wrong places, are going to make mistakes, sinful mistakes that you're going to regret. So number one, avoid temptation. Don't put yourself in a position that's just, that was so stupid. Why did I do that? Kind of a situation, right?
Roy, what would be some specific situations?
Specific, yeah. Oh, we're going to go to another city and go to the zoo. That'll be fun. But, oh, well, we're going to stay in the same hotel together, right? Dumb. I
thought the zoo was the temptation area there. I'm like, wasn't sure where you were going with that.
Well,
no, I know what you mean.
Yeah, or we're just gonna park here over this beautiful city view and hang out in the car for, you know, X amount of hours and watch the submarine races, right? I mean, dumb. And in our era, we called that the submarine races. I don't know why, but anyway.
You can't see submarines, right?
Oh. You can't see submarines. You're watching nothing.
Yeah. Dating myself, little history here. So remember that you are a sinner and you need boundaries. God gives you boundaries for a reason, right? So decide up front what those boundaries are and agree upon them with the person you're dating. And make sure that, you know, both people discuss that, not just you going into it, but if you start to go beyond, you know, the beginning of a dating relationship and you haven't discussed those boundaries, you really should. And probably the most important thing is what are you going to do when you get in those situations? Oh, we just crossed this boundary. What is the reaction? What are you going to agree upon to do about that? Because as a parent, I could never be, even though I wanted to be, on the date, you know, like the old YouTube trunk monkey videos, you know? Yeah. Oh, okay, get on YouTube and look up trunk monkey, and you know what I'm talking about. Anyway.
We know a couple very well who, and you don't have to do this. This is not a, you know, rule that we have to follow, but they wrote out at the earlier stages of their relationship what they were going to agree on, and they both signed it. So that's a thought.
I tell women, remember that you are dating someone else's husband. Until you walk down that aisle and say, I do, that's someone else's husband. So they're also your brother in Christ. And if you guys break up, what do you want to have to tell the next person you date that you've done with someone? It's a really awkward conversation when it's a long conversation, since you have a long list of things you've done with other people. So, you know, remember, they're not yours. God has not given them to you, and you need to treat them honorably. Henry and I made a rule of never hanging out by ourselves. And so we would read books in public places. We went for a lot of walks. It's hard to cross physical boundaries when you're walking. We babysat a lot, but it wasn't, you have to be careful with that. We babysat a family that we disciple, or their parents both discipled us, and we knew their kid would be like, they were holding hands. You know, every little thing was going to be reported. So, and once the kids went to sleep, one of us left, because being alone in a house with a bunch of sleeping kids isn't a great idea either.
Very cool. Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. As much as you can avoid it, don't be alone together. Be with groups of friends. Be at your family's houses, if that's a possibility, if you guys live in the same city, things like that. Those are specific ways to do that. But back to what Henry keeps on coming back to, discipleship as well, and just having someone that you are strictly accountable to, and they're allowed to ask, did you do this or this? Did you do this or this? Did you do this or this? Not because there's a legalistic set of rules to keep, but because you just need that accountability. If you're flying solo in a dating relationship, and by that I mean you don't have someone who you're accountable to and who's you're kind of afraid of, That's what I like to tell guys, like, be discipled by someone who intimidates you. Then you're going to be way overly confident in yourself and you're going to be able to hide really easily. And that is not good for you or the person you're dating. It's destructive, actually. And it's just so much sweeter when you know I haven't sinned against this person that I really care about. Like, it's just so much sweeter that I know we're walking in communion together, we're walking in unity, we're pleasing the Lord together, and I'm just thankful for them. Any of these acts of sin that we're talking about that we could fall into are acts of selfishness and greed and lust and all that's about me. And it has nothing to do with the person that you actually care about. So wouldn't it be sweet to come to the end of each week and be like, I cared for this person in a way that pleased the Lord this week, and we're at peace, and that feels really good. Better than any guilt, better than any moment of selfishness you had, things like that.
I have one thing to add. It is good to talk about physical boundaries up front, but know that your physical relationship should kind of progress with your relationship. You know, you're probably not going to be holding hands and kissing on the first date. That, I would say that's inappropriate. But when you're engaged, you should be holding hands. Like, you know, it not only, I had a woman tell me once that she always encouraged her sons that, like, as your relationship progresses, your physical relationship should progress to a point. But, like, it's part of showing people that, like, when Henry holds my hand, people know I'm his. Don't mess with me. It's a protective thing. When he puts his arm around me as we're walking through a crowd, he's leading me. And so if you've, like, never held hands, it's kind of strange to go from nothing to everything when you get married. And it is a way for men to show protection and love for the people that they care about.
One thing that's I think a mistake for couples is to drag out relationships too long. In other words, naturally, if your souls become knitted together prior to marriage, you begin to date, you go, well, I'm in love with this person, or you're in love with each other. But you have no trajectory that ends in marriage that isn't 4 or 5, 6 years away. That's a problem, because you're really, in a sense, walking up to the edge of the cliff, and now you're going to stand there for 4 years. That's not a good plan. Think about, you know, if you are dating, think about, well, how am I ready to be married? And if you are, or could be within a few years, then that's probably better than trying to drag it out and just, you know, living in temptation for years on end. That's not a good plan, especially for guys. At least I can't speak for the women, but definitely for most guys.
Cool. We can't camp on this question, but I think it's a great way to close out. So I'll just try to close out here. Someone asked a really great question, and I paraphrase it a little bit, but question 26, I almost said verse 26. Question 26, how do I grow in desiring what God desires for me and my relationships? You grow in that through the instruments that God has given you for growing. His word, prayer, the church, discipleship, and a commitment to those things. And if I were to challenge the guys, here, Claire and I were talking the other day, and we just talked about, like, there's a lot of girls responding to this repetitive theme that we're coming back to, of that we need to be in discipleship, we need to be growing. There's a lot of girls responding to this, fewer guys responding to this. And we talked about we think it's because guys are fixers. Guys will ask for help when they need something to be fixed, but a guy doesn't think that he needs that steady support, which girls seem more willing to admit. But the truth is, guys, we need that just as much. So guys, I would just challenge you, humble yourselves before the Lord, respond to his word that instructs you to be discipled by someone older than you, if you haven't yet, because you need that steady drip of wisdom. You need that steady drip of of truth being poured into your life, not just from the pulpit, not just from your occasional time in the Word, but someone who loves you and cares for you and is in a relationship for the purpose of helping you grow. If you don't have that, you're not setting yourself up for good success in a dating relationship and for spiritual life in general. And if God provides a dating relationship and marriage in the future, your marriage will be better off for it because of it. And ladies, good job responding to the call to pursue discipleship. I am so encouraged by you all. There's a handful of guys I'm also encouraged by, but guys, there needs to be more of you. For the sake of the gospel, for the sake of your own growth, for the sake of marriage.
Thank you for listening to this audio from Faith Bible Church. Feel free to share. Visit us online at fbchurch.org for more sermons, articles, and other resources, as well as information about our ministries.